All right. Now, many of you would notice that our title, A Tale of Ridiculous Faith. Debbie, surgical tape. Hey? Would so work. Okay. A Tale of Ridiculous Faith. Now, for most of us, when you say something is ridiculous, it has a funny connotation to it. But in our modern day language, that happens quite a lot. So if teenagers say that something is bad, it actually means good. But if it's like bad, then it's really bad. All right? Now, the same with ridiculous. If you're like, that cake I had this afternoon was ridiculous, it means it was really, really good. But if it was like, that cake is ridiculous, then it's really bad. Okay? So we played with this little word ridiculous with this series, but it's in a good connotation. We want you to have a ridiculous amount of faith by the end of the series. So I'm just going to quickly give you a brief overview of where we're going to go for the next 4 weeks. Next week, we're going to do something that really, when I heard about this text for the first time, when I was like a little picky, I just read over it. I'm like, this is weird. But when I really dug into it in seminary and I read what God did, I was like, this rocks. This is awesome. So next week, please bring a spade to church. No jokes. Your entry into church next week is spade determined. You might like draw a spade on a pit like paper and come in. That'll count. But like, come on, bring real spades, okay? Because Elisha told people to go and dig ditches when there was no sign of rain. All right, so we're going to dig some ditches. I wasn't joking this morning in church. We're going to dig some ditches in this church. And bring your spades next week because we're going to dig. Come on, like, okay, thanks, Ames. Yes, like, and God's going to send the rain. God's going to send the rain. All right, then in the week that comes to follow, in the third week, we're going to look at a widow who had lost everything. She was literally at wit's end and quite desperate. And we're going to see how God just does something amazing with one jar of oil. So in the week to come, bring some jars to church. That'll be fantastic. And then the last week, don't bring anything because this could be very dangerous and I could get locked up for encouraging you to bring weapons to church. Now, if you know the story of Elisha very well, you know where this is going. We might fill the baptistry, but we'll have one axe head, not 50 axe heads. And the last week, we're going to look at how God used Elisha, where he touched the water. And now, I don't know if you've seen an axe head, but it's not light, right? It was dropped into this like massive water, and God took this axe head after Elijah touched it and made it float. That's pretty cool. Like, I don't know how God did it, but it worked. So that'll be the fourth week. And if you've ever lost your spiritual edge, we're kind of using that axe head story to hopefully inspire you that God wants to give you your spiritual edge back. Like, if you backslided in your spiritual life and you want some oomph back, you better come week four because it's going to be filled with oomph. And I might chase you around in the church with an axe head, but we'll see how that goes. But today, let's look at the first part of the story. I'm going to build up to the axe head. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have your Bibles with you, and Caesar, can we turn on those lights behind you? Behind you on the back wall, please? Yeah, so people can read. Thank you. Yeah, is that better? Can you read? It's good. Okay, so 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to read from verse 19 onwards. But just a bit of context. People often get this mistaken, and even I got it mistaken back in the day when I was a picky. Elisha. I just thought that people like struggled with spelling in the Bible, and it was the same guy. But when I read the story properly, Elijah, J-A-H, was a prophet before Elisha. And what's really, really cool about Elijah is he was bold. He was very gutsy and slightly cocky, but in a good way, where he goes to the Baal prophets and he's like, yo, dudes, let's check if your gods can sort this thing out. And like he even jokes, he's like, is your God on holiday? Because nothing seems to be happening. And then like this, boom, like God, our God, rocks up and then there's fire. And he's like, ah, my God's hot, yours is not. Okay, but that was Elijah. He did amazing miracles. He was powerful. He was quite a charismatic prophet. And Elisha was just an ordinary guy. He was chilling on his parents' farm, not doing much, but faithfully like working, you know, on his parents' farm. And we're going to get into a bit more detail about his working environment later on. But it's very important to notice that Elijah did miracles, and then Elisha was this like audacious and this ridiculous that he asked God for a double portion of Elisha's anointing. Now, anointing is like power, it comes from above. And he was like, yo, God, I want to do more miracles than this dude. And God's like, you have no idea what plans I have for you, young man, but it's going to happen, and you are going to be quite surprised. And Elisha gets the double anointing and gets Elisha's covering, and it's like he's student for a little while. And then when he's let loose as a prophet, he actually does more recorded miracles other than Jesus. That's amazing. One oak following God's call. So God called him from working in a farm, and this is how it happened. So 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read from verse 19 onwards. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elisha went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come to you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Now come on. That's a ridiculous story. Hey? 12 pair of oxen. Have you seen a cow lately? It's huge. He kills all 12 of them, makes a little braai out of his equipment, and like feeds the people and goes, cool, I'm out of here. Cheers. Great farewell party. Now come on, somebody say that's the beginning of a ridiculous story. Okay, we got to try that again some other time. All right, but we'll get there. So you'll notice that scripture says Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Now, if you're not like very well versed in farming, you'll have no cooking clue what this looks like. So I promise, John, I won't put any pictures up on the screen. So just imagine this. You've got 12 really big cows. Oxen are huge. They're not like the normal cows we eat. They're big. In a row, like side by side in front of you. And they've got plowing equipment all attached to them. And so the 12th pair, okay? So they're like 24, is that right? In front. And you're right at the back. And you're going, let's go, buddies. We've got to move the soil. Move. That is your office space. That's what you're looking at. That's what it smells like. There were 12 pairs of cows in front of you. The toilet is earth. It stinks. So don't tell me that your office space sucks. Elisha's office space really sucked. However, he was faithful. He got in behind those oxen every week and every day and just helped them along. Very monotonous, very boring. And you could be here tonight going, well, I'm a student. I study, go to school. It's boring. Or you're a student at varsity. You're like, I study, I work, I sleep. It's boring. Or you're a new young mom and dad. And you're like, I work, I clean diapers, I cook, I clean diapers, I bath children, I put them to sleep, I wake up, I give them food. It's boring. It's monotonous. However, are you like Elisha and you're doing it faithfully? Because if you are, there is something really amazing in store for you. Oh, yes. Yes. Go, Isla. She agrees. Love it. It's awesome. Notice that Elisha was faithful. He was faithful at the task at hand. He plowed with those oxen day in, day out. And then God did something miraculous in his life. He took the monotony of his faithfulness and did something really amazing, where Elijah rocks up, walks next to him, and does something quite strange for us in a modern day context. So the best way I could explain it is when you watch sport and the captain's playing on the field, they've got a captain's armband and they've got the power on the field to tell the Oaks, come, move. And if you're like playing eighth man, you will totally understand what I'm saying. You've got seven other oxen in front of you and you're like, come on, we've got a scrum, go forward, okay? Now, this is Elisha. He is the captain and he rocks up with Elisha and he's like, buddy, God has got great things planned for you. So here's the captain's armband. It's now your baby. But I'm going to train you for the next while. You're going to be my student. I'll be your mentor. And we're going to rock this world together. So that's kind of what happened. Elijah gave his covering, his mantle to Elisha. So he was saying that whatever covered me, whatever God did through me, he's not going to do through you, and he might even do greater things. But let's like work together for a little while. Now you might ask, well, how on earth does this story apply to my life? There are two principles. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There are two things we need to learn from this story. God called Elisha to follow Elijah, and he had no idea what the end goal was going to be. He didn't know the details first, where he said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I'm going to burn my cows and feed it to my friends and my plow, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to put my whole life behind me. But I first want to know what's going to happen. No, Elisha did it and faithfully followed God, God's call for his life. So you don't necessarily have to fully understand to obey immediately. And God might be calling you tonight to do something radical, something ridiculous in your life. God might be calling you to burn a plow. And we'll get to the details of the plow later. It might be that you change your occupation. But you need to obey immediately. You don't necessarily need to understand. Verse 20, here's what happens. First, Elijah puts his cloak around Elisha. Then, what did he do? He burns everything as an irreversible sign of his commitment. He turned his back on the past and said, okay, God, you're calling me to go and do something. I have no idea what it is, but I've got to burn that in order to get that. And that's what Elijah did. He just burnt it and followed the Lord. And here's how God might lead you tonight. Don't you think that God really gives you all the details for a very specific reason? I think for some of us, he strategically just is very vague in his directions, because if he tells us everything firsthand, like if he gives us the whole plan right now and we see the whole thing, we might go, ha ha, plowing cows. Here we go. You're cooked. Like, I'll cook these cows. That's not happening. So I think God sometimes goes, okay, buddy, just like kill the cows, burn the plow, and follow me, and one step at a time, I'll show you what it looks like. I think God sometimes is very good like that. Just imagine Moses in the Old Testament. If God, when he called him the first time, told Moses, buddy, so you're going to go chat to Pharaoh, and we're going to kill some children, and they're going to be plagues, and like last minute, you're going to part the Red Sea and the whole of Israel is going to cruise right through it. Do you think Moses was like, I'm signing up for this? But no. Moses was like, one step at a time, let's first teach them the Ten Commandments and then go from there, you know? That also didn't work. But God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. Go, I'll part the Red Sea. Go. Same with Abraham, go. And in the New Testament, Peter, parking off in the boat, what does Jesus tell him? Come. So sometimes it's a one-word instruction from God. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a bit more detail. However, whether it's one word or a very detailed description, you don't have to fully understand to obey immediately. Sometimes we want the details. However, God wants our faith. And some of us might be able to handle the details, but God wants our faith. Now, some of you might hear one word from God. You don't know what it will be, but it might be in your marriage where things are going quite tough at the moment. And you're thinking of giving up. And you might want to hear that one word tonight. That one word is stay. Or you don't have to fully understand it, but just stay. God's got a plan with that marriage. Or your health situation is not quite hundreds. Doesn't look good. Or maybe it's someone you love. And God gives you that one word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. A bit more details there. But just obey. Follow the Lord. Some of you might be hanging around church tonight. Or you've been in church for a while. Kind of thinking, well, God, I want this place to grow a bit. But you're still observing from the outside. God may give you one word tonight. Commit a bit more in terms of the church. Help God do great things in this community because you decide to commit. Some of you are going to hear crazy things like Elisha. Watch what he does. Verse 21, he leaves Elijah. He goes and burns everything that he currently has. God might tell you tonight that you need to do what Elijah did. Give up what you think you need to do in order to make this world happen. And follow God in a very ridiculous way. Or for some of you, God's going, you don't have to go as big as Elijah. But what on earth is holding you back tonight from following God wholeheartedly, from being faithful to God's call? Is your plow sin? Is your plow trust? Is your plow a relationship that you're currently in or have with someone? Is your plow your current occupation? What is holding you back from just having a more intimate relationship with God? Not necessarily following this massive call to do a massive thing in the community, like Elisha, where God used him to dig ditches and send rain where a whole army and all their animals are fed. Tonight it could just be God's telling you that you've got to let go of something that's holding you back from following him. And tonight you need to identify what that is. It might be ridiculous. But if you want to have a ridiculous, in a good sense, relationship with God, where he directs your every path and does amazing things through your life, it might require you to let go of a ridiculous thing. Something as ridiculous as a relationship or your occupation. Are you willing to burn that plow tonight? Are you willing to respond to God's call like Elisha did? Friends, for every single one of you here tonight, God wants to do amazing things in your life. Just like he called Elisha, he's calling us and says there is hope in South Africa. But you're part of the plan. We're part of that plan. What's holding you back from accepting the call of God? And you might be sitting here tonight going, well, Jan, what is this call? Firstly, this call is a call of a relationship with God. You first got to have that relationship with God before we get to any of the other stuff. So tonight, you might notice that we've closed those doors, not because there are children or monsters in there. We decided to do something bold tonight, to give you an opportunity to let go of whatever's holding you back. And in there, that's going to be the prayer room for the next 4 weeks. And if you like it and you use it, we'll keep it like that forever. We'll just like modify it slightly so the Bible studies can still meet in there in the week. Yeah, I can see some of the ladies going, that's my space. We want you to spend some time in prayer over the next 4 weeks. Be- Because I am aware that for some of us, it's not like Elisha, where you just go back and go, okay, cool. I'm burning this relationship. I'm burning the sin. I'm stopping right now, and I'm just going to faithfully obey God. I don't fully understand how this works, but I'm just going to do it. For some of us, this is a gradual journey, and I really hope, we really hope that in 4 weeks' time, you can make that transition. You can take that step. You can answer that call from God into a relationship with Him first, and then once you have that relationship, He'll whisper something ridiculous in your ear. Like, come and serve me full time. Go and spread my gospel message in the far corners of this earth. Go to Cape Town, start a new church, or get involved in Somerset Baptist and rock that world. God has got something amazing planned. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But there's a little tricky part in that verse, that you've got to call on the name of the Lord. You've got to call on Him. You've got to build a relationship with Him where you understand the plans that God has for you and you accept those plans and go, yes, Lord, I'll grab a spade and I'll dig a ditch. Or yes, Lord, I'll grab a stick and touch water and axe heads just float up. Or yes, Lord, I will tell someone who's got nothing to give me an empty jar. An empty jar, the only thing she had left in her house. And God fills those jars like you cannot believe. Where she can just go and support her family. She doesn't have to lose her children. It's little snippets of what is to come. God has an amazing plan for your life. And that space we've created, and hopefully like in a week's time we can like dim the lights a little so that you can quietly go in there and pray. But tonight we just bought tea light candles, so we'll turn off the lights and light the candles, and it should give enough light in there. But maybe tonight, after the group discussions or during the week or during the weeks to come, you just want to go in there and spend some time with God and go, God, I want to have a relationship with you like Elisha had, where you used him to do amazing things in South Africa. Please, God, help me to have that kind of relationship and help me to respond to when you call me to do amazing things. And so that is it for tonight. Are you going to respond to God's call? And you can either unpack this in your groups with the group discussion questions that we'll soon start, or you can get up and go. And no one's going to look at you funny, because this is amazing that we want to respond to God's call. And let's honor each other in that sense. That when we see someone go there, let's go, that's amazing. A person's responding to God's call. That person wants to engage in a deeper relationship with God and hear what the plans God has for them. So let us do that tonight. Let us respond to God's call. And maybe in your groups you need help to figure out what your plow is, how many cows you have in your life that you've got to slaughter and burn and turn away and follow God like Elisha did. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your prophet Elisha, for this amazing story through 1 Kings. Of an ordinary man living a faithful yet monotonous life where you've called him to do great things. And we just pray, God, that for every person here tonight, as you called Elisha, that you would call us into an intimate relationship with you where you do great and mighty things through us in Durban North and beyond. Help us tonight to respond to that call by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to discern what plows we need to burn, what cows we need to slaughter in order to respond to your call. And help us, Lord, to do so and let go of the past and follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy your group discussion.